1 and verse 4, how Christ was made so much better than the angels, and that dealt with his incarnation, his virgin birth. And then the second thing we looked at was in chapter 7 and verse 19. Go over to chapter 7. That's where we'll be. We'll start here tonight. And then we looked at the better hope. This next one we're going to look at is found in verse 22. And we'll take it from here. Thanks for coming out tonight. Still have a lot of people sick. Jim had to take Jean to the urgent care. I guess she has kidney stones. Something's going on there. So he just texted me just before church. Just got another little. Oh, I know. What, dear? Yes. All right. Pray for Terry. Again, like I said this morning, anybody you know that's not been in church, maybe for a week or two, pray for him. Because there is a lot of sickness, not COVID, but there's just a lot of sickness going around. Not all sickness is COVID-related, right? We have to understand that. There are other sicknesses other than COVID. Everybody is scared of COVID, but that's not always the case. There are other things going on. There's a new variant now of this of COVID coming out of South Africa. We need to pray for our missionaries in Africa. Hannah Bennett is in South Africa. This is where this other variant, Omicron, is coming out of South Africa. That's where Hannah Bennett is, our missionary. We need to pray for this these people. And nobody knows a whole lot about it yet. But, you know, that's part of the signs of the end times. Pestilences, plural, Jesus talks about. And Matthew 24, pestilences. Pestilences are diseases. They're illnesses. They're sicknesses. And there's going to be a lot more coming on the scene that we humans have never really experienced before. So this is nothing new. We see it in the Old Testament. We see that Jesus said that's one of the signs of the coming of Christ is these pestilences, earthquakes, and all these things going on, wars and rumors of wars. And so when I heard that about this new variant of COVID and other things coming out, I said, you know, the Lord is just, he is on the verge of stepping out of heaven and coming to get us. I really believe that. And we need him to come and get us. Amen. All right, Hebrews 7:22. Little verse, it says this, by so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. Let's pray. Father, thank you that we could be here tonight for those that came out. Lord, I don't know who's watching online tonight. We may have some that are. We just pray that you would be working in our lives and hearts. And Lord, guide us through the Word of God and help us to, again, see some things in the book of Hebrews that makes very clear of these things are better. And so, Lord, bless the service, bless the message, use the Word of God as it goes forth. In Jesus' name, amen. A better testament is what this verse talks about. Now, this is very important. I want you to get this. This is something that I really feel that we Christians, today's Christians, need to get a hold of this truth. Because I see the opposite taking place, and I'll explain really in the next two betters here is what we're going to look at. But here we have the better testament. The Old Testament was that which God made with his people under the Mosaic law. We understand that, right? God made the Old Testament, we call it the Old Testament or the Old Covenant. So if I use the word Old Covenant, those words are interchangeable. Old Testament, Old Covenant. We see that mentioned in the New Testament. We see that mentioned in the book of Hebrews. Old Testament or Old Covenant or New Covenant or New Testament. And so we can understand what that is, but the Old Covenant or the Old Testament was what God made with his people under that Mosaic law that God gave to Moses, to the nation of Israel. The New Covenant came by means of Jesus Christ. He brought in a new covenant. He brought in a New Testament, we would say. And so the New Covenant is better than the Old in two ways. I want you to get these two ways down here and understand this. The new covenant is better than the old. It's not that we use the Old Testament. We preach the Old Testament. We believe the Old Testament. There is a lot of good stuff in the Old Testament. I'm not saying, we're not saying that the old is inferior in any way because it's part of God's Word. However, when I get done with this, these next two betters, you're going to understand what Hebrews is, or Paul writing to the Hebrews is trying to explain to the Hebrews about how he is differentiating between the old and the new and the reasons behind it. Paul put this in for a reason. This is here, 7:22, about a better testament. So there's a better covenant. Number one, again, this new covenant is better than the old in these following two reasons. Number one, God promised to the Jewish nation of Israel certain secular blessings. Secular blessings. Those blessings are, if you do what I tell you to do, and if you follow the law, and if you obey the Mosaic law, you will be blessed. Right? Many times. You see that many times throughout the Old Testament. Matter of fact, just as a side note, go over to Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28. This is a great chapter that explains this. It's the chapter, really, of the blessings and the curse. And so God promised to the Jewish nation certain secular blessings peculiar to the nation of Israel, peculiar to the Jewish people, on condition of them keeping the Mosaic law. You keep the law, you keep the commandments, you do what I tell you, this is what will happen. Okay, now look at this here in Deuteronomy 28. There are several Beatitudes here in Deuteronomy 28. I'll start reading in verse 1. It says, and it came to pass, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. So there's a blessing. Hey, if you do what I tell you to do, you're going to be above all the other nations. Again, the Jewish nation, Israel. Verse 2, and it says, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Here's the Beatitudes, or the blesseds. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? That was an Old Testament promise to the nation of Israel. You keep my commandments, all of these things are I'm going to bless you in a secular, physical, material way. That's what that is, right? I mean, look at it. He's going to bless them. The fruit of the body, they're going to have children. The fruit of the ground is going to be blessed. The fruit of their cattle is going to be blessed. The increase of their kine and the flocks of the sheep. The basket, their store, the grain, all of these things are going to be blessed. The enemies will not be able to overcome the Israelites. They'll always have victory over them. And then you drop down to verse 15, and it changes tune. In verse 15, it says, but it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all of these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. And there's a whole list of curses. I mean, the curses last longer than the blessings. So if you don't do what I tell you, if you don't adhere to the law of God, if you don't adhere to the commandments of God, if you don't adhere to what the Mosaic law says, you're going to be cursed. And we see there's going to be distress in verse 20. There's going to be disease in verse 21. There's going to be drought in verse 23. There's going to be defeat in verse 25. There's going to be more diseases there in verse 27. There's going to be that derangement of mind in verse 28. There's going to be defilement in verse 30. It just goes on and on and on. These were conditions that this is what's going to happen to you if you don't obey the law. You obey the law, you'll be blessed in a physical, material, secular way. It wasn't that spiritual. Did you get that? You see that? All right. So now we come to the New Testament. Look at Matthew chapter 5. In Matthew chapter 5, what do we have in Matthew 5? We have Beatitudes, right? But they're completely different than the Beatitudes, the blessed, you know, that we see in Deuteronomy 28. In Matthew chapter 5, we see here in verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. What do we see in Matthew 5? We see spiritual blessings. You see the difference? There's a difference between the Old Testament blessings. Those were pretty much primarily material in blessing. Primarily physical in blessing. Even you might say secular in blessing. But in the New Testament, Jesus comes along and there's a new, I almost said a new sheriff in town. I want to say that, but I'm not going to say that. But I already said it. But anyway, Jesus comes along in the New Testament. And the New Testament, or the New Covenant, is better than the Old. Why is that? Because now it's all spiritual. Do you notice about the New Testament how it's filled with spiritual blessings? Spiritual things? More than material? See, the difference between the two is Old Testament, primarily material blessings. Physical things. And you see that throughout the Old Testament. You come to the New Testament, and now it switches, changes gears. And now what you see is spiritual blessings. And so when we think about this, the new covenant is better than the old. Again, primarily, number one, because God promised to the Jewish nation certain secular blessings. I'll just go over this point again and then get to point two here. Peculiar to that nation on conditions of them keeping the law of Moses. But under the new covenant, he promises to pardon sin, right? He promises to provide salvation, eternal salvation. He promises to provide the Holy Spirit that we can use and have in our life that comes and abides with us. He promises answered prayer. He promises all kinds of spiritual blessings in the new covenant, the New Testament. The old covenant was prosperity, lots of children, cattle, fruitful harvest, enemies smitten, lack of diseases. And if you have a disease, we'll heal you of that because you're obeying the commands of God. You're obeying the commandments, the Mosaic commands. And it was primarily just to the Jews. Right? Primarily to the Jewish people, the Jewish nation of Israel. Not to the Gentiles that were around about them. They didn't have any promises much at all. They were all kind of considered the enemies of God's people. But now in the New Testament, we see that the gospel comes to the Jews, it goes to the Gentiles, and every single human being upon this planet can be blessed spiritually because Jesus Christ came to die on a cross and to give us eternal life. Now, the second reason that the New Covenant or New Testament is better than the old is this. The Jewish priests were fallible. The Jewish priests were dying men. Right? None of them were infallible. They were all dying. They were all fallible men. They were mediators of the old covenant. By means of their sacrifices, which could not take away sin, nor render anything, anyone perfect. They couldn't do that. All they could do is offer the sacrifices there in the Old Testament that just covered sin. It didn't remove any sin at all. It covered it. The blood covered the sin of the in the Old Testament. But Jesus Christ comes on the scene, and what does he do? He literally removes sin with his death on the cross, with the blood that he shed for us. He's infinite in wisdom and in power. And so by the sacrifice of himself, he's established this new covenant. And by shedding of his blood, he has opened the kingdom of heaven to all believers, not just to the Jewish nation of Israel. Anybody can be saved. Anywhere. And so the better covenant, really back to our text in Hebrews, is because of Christ. He brought a better covenant than the old. I'm not saying don't read the Old Testament, don't study the Old Testament. Study and read the Old Testament. It's good for us to understand how God treated his people and understand how God worked amongst his people. And in the people of the Old Testament, there are some great examples and great testimonies in the Old Testament. So we're not saying don't pay attention to. There are Christians today that pay no attention to the Old Testament whatsoever. They don't read it, they don't believe it. It's only the New Testament, and that's wrong. I'm not saying that here tonight. That's wrong. Again, I read the Old Testament every day. You do. There's so much to glean. The prophecies that are mentioned in the Old Testament pointing to Jesus Christ of the New Testament. If it wasn't for the old, you couldn't have the new. And if it wasn't for the new, you couldn't have the old. So, I mean, they go together. They go together. But Jesus came along and brought us a better covenant. And I'll go back to Hebrews in chapter 8 and look at verse 6. Hebrews 8, 6. You see two things in verse 6 of Hebrews 8. You see the better covenant, but you also see better promises. Let me read the verse. Hebrews 8, 6. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant. There's that better covenant again. Which was established upon better promises. Better promises? You know what these promises are? They're spiritual. They're spiritual. We go from the physical blessings of the Old Testament to the spiritual blessings of the New Testament. Now, listen, please, again, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that God won't bless you physically and materially. He can and he will. And he does, right? He does. He certainly does. He gives us the needs that we have. He takes care of us. You may pray about something and God gives it to you. That's a blessing. We're not saying that he doesn't bless in material ways today. He certainly does. But what we see today, and I'm going to make a statement that I'm going to stand by. What we see today are too many Christians, Bible-believing Christians like you and I, living in the Old Testament. And not living in the New Testament. What do you mean by that, preacher? They're living in the Old Testament thinking that if they can just do good with God, they're going to get all kinds of things from God. And that is not where we are today. Too many Christians are living in the Old Testament. They think if they do, God will do. If they come to church at least once a week, God has to just give them whatever it is that they need. God will take care of my physical and material needs that I have, and God will do all of these things. That's not what we're living in today. We're living in a New Testament. We're living in a new covenant. Now what we see today is spiritual blessings outweigh and are more important than the physical blessings. I got to say, it's taken me a while to really get that. But I see this in my study here of Hebrews, that now it's very clear that the Old Testament was for the Jews, and that was primarily physical and material, where the New Testament is for the Christian, which is primarily spiritual. Let's stop living in the Old Testament. You know how much the Bible says in the New Testament about covetousness? Lusting, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, love of the Father is not in him. The Bible talks about how covetousness is as idolatry. Why is that? Because, again, we think that we're still living in the Old Testament era as far as getting material things, and we're not living in the New Testament spiritually. Christians care more about the material and the physical than they do about the spiritual today. Look at Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Let's get out of the Old Testament and get into the new covenant, the better covenant. When I say that, what I mean by that is let's get away from all of the material stuff and junk, And let's think about the spiritual blessings that God has for us. Look what Paul writes as he's writing to the church of Colossae in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, that means if you're saved, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Look what it says. Set your affection. That's your mind, folks. That's your mind. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Those verses are telling us that we need to be seeking spiritual blessings. Setting our heart upon the spiritual, the things that are above, not on the things of this earth. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. There's a lot of scripture on this. I've only picked out a couple passages that came to mind when I was preparing this. Ephesians 1:1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you, and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who had blessed us with all, say it, spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. That's the spiritual blessings. And they're not even here on the planet, they're in heaven, heavenly places. This is the spiritual. See the difference between the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 28? You do, I provide all of these material things for you. You don't do, I'm going to take away all these material things from you. But in the New Testament now, we're living in a spiritual realm, a spiritual world. Verse 4, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us acceptable or accepted in the beloved. And so we need to be living today in the spiritual realm, not the physical realm. It doesn't mean that God won't give you some physical things. It doesn't mean that you know, sometimes we think, oh, we got to live like the Amish. No, we don't have to live like the Amish. Electricity is good. Yeah. Amen? Furnaces that come on when you need them to come on is good. Refrigerators are good. Washing machines are good. Dryers are good. You can just list out all of the things that we like. We like the conveniences that we have today. I think sometimes we get into more conveniences than we should, but we like our conveniences, don't we? Just admit it. You like to walk into your house, flip on a switch, and have light. You like to go to the refrigerator and open it up and pull out whatever it is that's in there. You like to have a stove that can cook your food instead of going out and grabbing wood and trying to put wood into the stove and baking. I don't know, any of you ladies ever bake bread on a wood stove? Probably not. They used to. My great-grandmother did. We moved into the house that we bought from my great-grandmother, and that's all she had in there was a wood stove in the kitchen, one of those big wood stoves, you throw the wood in the side, and it's got the oven, and it's got all of that stuff. And we had a pump on the side of the counter. That's how we got our water, was from a cistern underneath. My father said, we got to get some running water in this house. And so we did. I've told you this before. We didn't have a flush. I like flush toilets. Right? We didn't have one until Kathy and I got married, and we moved away. That was my first flush toilet. Ever used them? No, used a few prior to that. But we didn't have a flush toilet in our house growing up as kids. You know, the bathtub, Mom would put hot water in there, and me being the oldest, I got in first, clean water, hallelujah. My poor youngest brother, John, he got in last. I always felt bad for John. Yeah, not really. I was just glad to go in first. he'd come out same color as he went in. But, you know, we didn't have a lot of the conveniences that we had, but it was still a home, but we have conveniences today. We drive vehicles today that it's incredible. Some of these vehicles today that they're all the things they put on. Automatic wipers driving down the road, and if you get a little moisture, the wiper comes on. Don't even have to touch the thing. High beams come on when they're supposed to, and they go off. It's amazing. Heated seats, vented seats, cooled seats, heated steering wheel, heated steering wheels, all kinds of fancy things that just drive the car. I saw an advertisement today where you can literally drive hands-free. There's a, Chevy is coming out with some hands-free driving. It shows these people just clapping and singing and driving down the truck is driving down the road by itself. It's like, that's a little crazy. The Cadillac that we rented and we've had out there, it's got one of those things on there where if you start to swerve one way or the other, it'll bring you back. So I took my hands off one day and I said, hey, I'm going to try this. And there a little message came out, put your hands back on the wheel. It's okay, I'm sorry. It did. It said that. Put your hands on the wheel. It didn't want me to drive, you know, without hands on the wheel. But they do that today. They stop. They go without you doing anything. You just sit there and, you know, you could, you know, do whatever it is you want to do. It's incredible the amount of stuff, the conveniences that we have today. I think it's gone a little overboard myself. But we... I hate to say this, but sometimes we live for those things. We live for those things. We're still living in the Old Testament. We want the material. We want the physical blessings. And we ignore so much the spiritual blessings. Let's get out of the old and live in the new. Let's get out of the old covenant, get into the new covenant and live where there are spiritual blessings that God wants to bless us with. I think we miss out on a lot of spiritual blessings because we fail to realize that the spiritual blessings are for God to give them to us when we are living right, but He's got spiritual blessings for us all the time. You sin, you can go to God immediately and ask Him to forgive you. You don't have to run to the priest, the pastor, the priest, the preacher, and bring a lamb, and I got to kill it and throw blood on you or whatever it is that he did and do all that. I don't have to do that. I mean, you go immediately to the throne of grace. You know, somebody has a need. You can take that name, that need, to the throne of grace. We have a lot of spiritual blessings today. So let's get out of the old and start living in the new. All right, let's move on. Let's go back to our text in Hebrews. So we have better promises in chapter 8, verse 6. Chapter 9, verse 23. Chapter 9, Hebrews 9 and verse 23. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. But the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. Better sacrifices? How can you have better sacrifices? Well, let me tell you what the better sacrifices are. The sacrifice is God the Father sacrificing His Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. The better sacrifices is Jesus Himself sacrificing Himself, laying His life down Himself, voluntarily laying His life down for you and for me. That's the sacrifices that are better. It's the offering of the Lord on the cross. And this has surpassed, gone way above and beyond anything else, any other the sacrifices of the Old Testament. Remember, those sacrifices, all they did was cover sin. They didn't take away any sin at all. Look at chapter 9, verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? The blood of Christ. Drop down to verse 22. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. Look at chapter 10, verse 4. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. That's impossible. They never took away the sin of the Jewish people. They only covered the sin. Christ comes along and dies one man, one time, on the cross, and removes all the sin of all people everywhere. That is a better sacrifice. That is a better sacrifice. God sacrificing His Son, Jesus sacrificing Himself for our salvation and forgiveness of sins, that's a much better sacrifice. You ought to thank God you're living in the New Testament, the New Covenant, not the old. You ought to thank God for that. That was better number five. if you're keeping track. I don't know if you are or not, but that's mine is number five. Number six, look at chapter 10, verse 34. 10:34. 10:34. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. This is in heaven. We have this better in heaven. Dick Knobloch, about an hour and a half ago, found that out. Pastor Aaron Overton, last Sunday, a week ago today, found that out. Ed Herman, somewhere between Sunday morning and Tuesday, found that out. And all of the people that have gone on before us, my parents, your people, loved ones that you know that have died, there is a better and an enduring substance. And this is in heaven. It's not on the planet. We don't have this yet on the planet. We have to die and go to heaven in order to enjoy this better. This is a better and enduring substance. We have communion and company with Jesus Christ when we get to heaven. That's better. That's enduring. We never, ever will be separated from Christ again. We'll never be separated from God again. We'll be able to have communion and company with Christ. We have an everlasting home in heaven, right? Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. We have this mansion, this home, this place that Jesus Christ is preparing for us. And so it's an everlasting home in heaven. We have fellowship with those that have gone on before us. We'll be able to fellowship with Noah and with Moses and with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and David and Daniel and in all of the Old Testament saints. We'll be able to fellowship with those that we've known. We'll be able to fellowship with those we don't know in heaven, because we're going to know everybody in heaven, right? We'll be able to walk up to somebody. You won't have to walk. I don't think you're going to have to walk up to somebody and say, hi, I'm Terry Fenton. What's your name? You're going to know. We're going to know everybody in heaven. We're going to have that knowledge when we get to heaven. Heaven is far better and enduring. It won't decay. It won't crumble. It won't rot. It won't rust. It's going to go on forever and ever and ever. Heaven is far better and enduring. And I really believe that when saved people go there, they don't want to come back. I really believe that. I believe that Pastor Overton is there and he says, don't send me back, God. I don't want to go back. I like it here. I believe that everybody that dies and goes there is, I can't think of words, but like elated, blessed. Can't think of any better place in the universe to go to than heaven. And when you get there, you don't want to come back. Some people, I just wish I could have my mother or my father or my sister or my brother back. I'm sorry, but they don't want to come back to you. They want you to go to them someday. That's what they want. They know, hey, you'll be here one of these days. They don't want to come back to you. They love you, yes, but they don't want to come back to you. They just want you to go to them. Heaven is far better. It's a better and enduring substance. You know what else it is? Turn over to Revelation chapter 21. It's a place of no sin. It's a place of no sin. Revelation chapter 21, verses 3 and 4, Revelation 21, 3 and 4, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Remember, where God is, there's no sin. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death. Boy, thank God for that. We've seen so much death lately. Experiencing the death of our loved ones is not an easy thing to go through. Should be no more death, neither sorrow. You ever had any sorrow? Of course you had. Crying, no more crying. Neither shall there be any more pain. Thank God for that. My shoulders will be healed and my right knee will not hurt like it does all the time. And whatever it aches on you, right? The older you get, the more aches and pains it seems like you have. and we'll just not be able to, we won't complain about any aches and pains when we get to heaven. There'll be no more pain. You won't need Tylenol. You won't need painkillers. You won't need anything like that. There's going to be no pain whatsoever. Some of us, you know, again, we're going through life with the aches and pains that we suffer with every day of our life. Some suffer more than others, with more pain than others. But there is a place where there's going to be no pain. For the former things are passed away. And so there's this better and enduring sacrifice. Or I'm sorry, substance. Better and enduring substance there in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 34. All right, let's look at that. Was number six. Number seven is found in 11:16, Hebrews 11:16. I like this one too. You will too. Hebrews 11:16, but now they desire a better country. That is, and heavenly. This kind of goes along with the previous one I just looked at. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. There's a better country coming. This world is not our home. We're just sojourners. We're just a passing through. We don't have that song anywhere around here, do we, Rich? I don't think we do. Listen, I enjoy living in America, and I'm glad that I was born in America. I really am. I was born in the state of Washington, Moses Lake, Washington. I wasn't born in a lake. I was born in the city of Moses Lake. Even though my father nicknamed me Tadpole, I think he nicknamed me Tadpole because I was born in Moses Lake. But that was my nickname growing up. You can just call me Pastor Tadpole. No, don't do that. But I enjoy living in America. I'm a patriot. I never served in the armed forces. Thank God for those that have in our church and around this country and around the world. But I do believe in patriotism. I believe in pledging allegiance to the flag. I believe in the Star Spangled Banner. I believe when you go to a ball game and the national anthem is played, I believe in standing to my feet and even putting my hand on my heart, taking a hat off, respecting the country, respecting the flag that you are honoring. I believe that. These losers, and I'll call them that in a nice way, that kneel and refuse to stand because of whatever crazy reason that they have is beyond me. I often think, why don't you go to another country then? Why don't you go join a communist country if you don't like this country? If you don't like what our flag stands for, and if you don't like what our police officers do, and you don't appreciate our military, then why don't you go to Russia and move right into Russia, and then you can do whatever you want there. I believe that this country has been blessed by God down through the years. Because of our stand with Israel, because of our missionary endeavor, and the number of churches, Bible-believing churches and Christians that are in this country, I believe that God has blessed this country because of those, at least those three things. But I'm thankful there's a better country than America. That better country is called heaven. There is a much better one coming. Again, this world is not my home. We sang these songs. I wrote a whole bunch of them down. Matching over the hilltop. How beautiful heaven must be. No disappointment in heaven. Sweet by and by. My Savior first of all. Meet me there. Where we'll never grow old. When the roll is called up yonder. When we all get to heaven. Face to face. We'll never say goodbye. What a day that will be. Just over in glory land. That's the better country. Better country. Same chapter, here's another one. I think we got two more here. Three more, four more, five, ten more. No, just three more. Three more. Look at chapter 11, verse 35. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. A better resurrection. Martyrs that have suffered and died for their belief are going to be resurrected someday. When the rapture occurs, we get a new body if we have died. I know Pastor Overton wanted the rapture. He preached it. He believed it. He taught it. He wanted that to come, but he really got the next best thing. The next best thing is death. He still moved into heaven. Yeah, that's good. That's good. I'll take one or the other. I'll take either one. That's fine by me. But there is a better resurrection coming. So those that have died previously are going to have a resurrected body that's going to be much better than their previous body. And so there's a better resurrection coming. When the rapture occurs, again, we get a new body if we have died. That resurrection is much better. The dead rise first, according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The dead are going to rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. That day is coming soon. We believe that. Could be this year. Could be tonight. Could be this month. Could be any time now. Could be next year. Could be within the next 3, 4, 5, 10, 15. Who knows when the Lord's coming back. But there is a better resurrection coming. Lazarus was raised from the dead. He was dead for 4 days. And Jesus brought him back. And often wondered, did Lazarus come up to Jesus quietly and say, why did you do that for? What did you bring me back for? And I, of course, he knew why. It was to show everybody that was standing around there how powerful Jesus Christ was. And many believed, the Bible says, because of that. But Lazarus had to die again, placed in a tomb somewhere on the island of Cyprus, and he will be raised again someday. Everybody that has died before the rapture will rise again someday. That is the better resurrection. Chapter 11, verse 40. Here's the next better. The next better in your Bible. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. A better thing for us. Paul ends this chapter on faith, and this is the last verse of his faith chapter, with this little statement. He simply says, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. And so when he ends this statement, he has been dealing with faith and those that lived a life of faith right up to the entire chapter, right? We call this the Hall of Faith chapter, or the faith chapter of the Bible. Paul has been dealing with names and a number of people explaining their faith in God, explaining all of the things that they went through. And so he says here there's something better. There's a better thing for us. You can tell anyone how faithful you are, but your works will prove your faithfulness. We can shout it from the rooftop. We can go out and tell everybody how faithful we are and how good we are and what a wonderful Christian we are and how much we know and our biblical knowledge. But your works always prove what you say. There's something better for us. James says that faith without works is what? Dead. Faith without works is dead. Real faith, listen to this, real faith is real. Genuine faith is genuine. Real faith works, and works proves real faith. Works. Not working your way to heaven. Working because you're on your way to heaven. Big difference. Big difference. People are trying to work their way into heaven, trying to be good and just do all of these things to try to get into heaven. No, you do things for God and you serve the Lord after you get saved. And it becomes a proof of your faith is what that's all about. People today must come out of the make-believe and into the reality of realism when it comes to faith. Too many people, I think Christians are living in a make-believe world today. Just living in a make-believe world. They have no clue what the Bible says about things. They're on the internet. They're listening to all of this garbage out there, sucking all this stuff in. They have no idea how to live their life outside of the Word of God. Get in the Bible. The Bible will explain to you how and what to do as a Christian. Better thing for us. Our faith needs to be real. People are watching our faith. People observe us all the time. Chapter 12, verse 24 is the last better, and we're done. 12:24. Hebrews 12:24. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Better things than that of Abel. Abel's blood, you know what Abel's blood did? It cried out for vengeance. When Abel was killed by Cain, his brother, his blood was crying out for vengeance. But the blood of Jesus Christ speaks of forgiveness and salvation. That's what his blood cries out. Forgiveness and salvation, not vengeance. Christ isn't going around with this vengeance. And, you know, there's this false belief that God is going to get you if you do something wrong. That was more Old Testament than it is New Testament. It's not that God's not going to chastise us if we need it. But again, Abel's blood cried out for the vengeance, but God's blood speaks of forgiveness and salvation. Look to Jesus Christ. He speaks through His Word. Who is the Word of God anyway? Christ is. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. That's who Jesus Christ is, the Word. When the Bible says, speaketh better things, who is that? That's Christ. That's the Word of God. When you read this, you're reading about Christ. When you're reading this, you're reading what God has to say to you. That is something speaking better. That is a better speaking to you and I. So Christ can give us the Word of God and give us direction through the Word of God. Stay in the book. Read it and study it. 12:1-2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which us doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Look to Christ. He speaks much better. This Word of God that we have in front of us, on your lap, in front of me, speaks much better. Speaketh better things. The Bible speaks much better. I'm thankful tonight that we have some better things in the book of Hebrews. I'm thankful that God has given us better things. I'm glad that God has not just given us the mundane stuff, but He has given us better things that we can always appreciate with God. God is such a blessing. The Lord's a blessing. The Bible is a blessing. The Spirit of God is a blessing. All the things that God gives us is a blessing. We have a lot of better things tonight. And I'm not talking material things. I'm talking spiritual things. As I said a little while ago, let's get out of the Old Testament and start living in the New Covenant, the New Testament. Stop thinking so much about the material and start thinking more about the spiritual. And allow the Lord to bless you. That's how He'll bless you. He'll bless you with the Spirit or the spiritual things more than with the material things. Let's pray. Father, thank You again that we could be here tonight. Thank You, Lord, for the book of Hebrews. We thank You, Lord, for all those different things that we saw as we went through it. Help us, Lord, to comprehend this. Help us, Lord, just to appreciate You more. You're such a good and wonderful God to us. By giving us this book, we thank You, Lord, for the blessings You've given to us. And Lord, I pray tonight that You'd speak to every